How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Our subject is understanding great consolations. Heavenly Father, we turn to you now, ask you to make your word live to us. Oh God, bless this people with the word. Let it get into the side of their hearts and bless them for the glory of Jesus. Help us now. In thy name I pray. Amen. Amen. Understanding great consolations. This is really critically important. So I want to talk for a few moments about the great consolations of God. And the verse in Job has absolutely astounded me. As Eliezer asked Job this question: are the consolations of God small with thee? Well, that's the question I wish us to ask ourselves today. How important is it to you? How valuable, how small, how big, how great are the consolations of God? Or are the consolations of God small with you? I trust that before we finish these few moments together, that you will understand, and we together will understand, how important the consolations that come from God really are. And you'll find out that they are all important. Well, what are the consolations? You know what consolation means: solace, comfort, help to counteract something that's going on. What are the consolations of God? And just to show you how great they are, the first one that's mentioned in Scripture is Jesus Himself is the great consoler. Jesus is the great consoler. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. Watch your lips now. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting. He is an old man. He's been waiting for the consolation of Israel to come. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Watch this now. Waiting for the consolation, and it was given to him that he would not see death until he saw the great consolation. One of the primary purposes, if not a category which could encompass everything Jesus did when he came here, this word consolation. He came to provide a consolation. And what I want us to learn today is that for every thorn, there is a rose. For every difficulty, there is a way through. For every sin, there is a cleansing. For every fear, there is faith. For every trial, there is a solution. For every suffering, there is a consolation. And in this world, where there's lots of suffering and a lot of the stuff that I just mentioned going on, Jesus came to tip the balance and bring us back to normality so that the heavy stuff that comes on us doesn't overpower us, doesn't weigh us down. In fact, he comes to even that balance, to console, to counteract, to provide a comfort as a means to stop the suffering from being too much, so that he can justly say, as he said in the scriptures, there's no temptation taken you, but such is common to man, and God is faithful, and will not suffer you to be tempted beyond that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you can bear it. He comes to counteract evil. He comes to be the consolation. Now, he did that when he was here. He still does it now by his Holy Spirit. So let's just take a look at a verse that describes him doing this. And here's a bunch of people. They came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Now watch this. And they were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Jesus still has, for he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he has the same virtue releases by his Spirit as he did in those days. The whole multitude was healed. In fact, it is said in the scriptures that if all the books were written, that all the healings and all the miracles that he did, the world could not contain all the books. These crack reporters, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, only put some of them down for us. There were thousands of them. And I want you to know that this is the function of Jesus. God sent forth his Son to do something about our condition, to provide a consolation that would counteract sickness, that would counteract sin, that would counteract devils, that would counteract evil. He is the great consoler. In fact, it ought to be noteworthy to you to understand that consoling is a part of God's identity. Now here's the title of God, the God of patience. Well, we know that's true, but look at this. He's the God of patience and consolation. And this God, whose identity and function and role as a consoler, is here to help us to get along with one another, and you're going to see that, how that works out in just a few moments. So it's part of his identity. And then he is committed to it forever. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. He comfort your hearts, and he'll establish you in every good word and work. What I want you to get from this is that he intends to function the rest of eternity in your life as a consoler. He is going to come and bless you more than any other force comes to curse you. He is the everlasting consoler. And that's why we have good reason for hope. And what does this consolation from God do? Well, here are three things. Number one, it comforts your heart. Jesus cares about the condition of your heart. That's why he said, come unto me, you're heavy laden. He cares about your health. He cares particularly, because remember, in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear, for looking after those things that have come to them on the earth, the scripture says. Jesus said it in Matthew 24. Cause of heart failures, fear. Interesting. It's true that medical science can tell you the physical conditions that will clog your arteries and could cause a heart condition. But what causes the chemical changes in the body or the adherence of certain chemicals to... You understand there's a difference. The ultimate cause here is that fear is a precursor, if you please, of a heart condition. And so God cares about the condition of your heart sufficiently enough to comfort your heart. through the consolations. And by the time we get finished this morning, my hope is that God helping me, that everybody here will walk out of here with a new song in their heart and a new spring in their step, a new smile on their face, because they will understand what they have, what you really have got in God, the Consoler. He will comfort your hearts. And if you receive consolation from God, not only will your heart be comforted, but it will establish you in what you speak out of your mouth, every good word. The consolation that you get from God is going to comfort your heart, and it's going to establish you so that what comes out of your lips, off your tongue, and from your mouth is not only health and healing, but it is life to all that will hear it. For the power of death and life is in the tongue. And the reason why people can't speak civilly, you're going to understand this in a moment. I'll tell it to you now. The reason why people can't speak civilly is because they have not received the consolation from God. Let me see if I can help you get it a little in advance. When a person speaks uncivilly, anger, hastily, wickedly, it comes out of his condition. If that person had received the consolations that are available to him, then that condition wouldn't be like that, and what would come out of his mouth would be different. And so, these consolations that come from God are so valuable that they comfort our hearts and they establish every good word. They make good words come out of us. And not only that, but the third thing it accomplishes is it establishes your work. This is related to your employment. And by the time we finish, I want you to see that the consolations are so valuable that they will enable you to be successful in the workplace. You'll understand how, I hope, in just a moment. But it's a never-ending attribute of God. Number four, the consolations that we receive from God are greater than all the sufferings that we experience. In fact, take a look at this scripture, because there's different kinds of sufferings, but watch this now. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. In other words, you are never going to have a suffering that the consolation of Christ doesn't counteract. Isn't that good news? Somebody should be happy by now. There should at least be some amens here by now. Because I tell you so delightfully that according to your suffering, so an abundant consolation is made for you to counteract that. And look at this. This consolation abounds. It is not a little leak through of ability. This is an abundant pouring out of Christ upon you, a consolation that is more than adequate to counteract and counterbalance any suffering that you experience. Well, I'm preaching better than you're receiving. Let me say it again. Let's take the word suffering out of there for a moment, and let's take the word inadequacy or fear. The consolation that you get from Christ is more than adequate to compensate or overcome or be greater than, because it abounds, any sense of inadequacy, any fear, any inferiority, any evil, any damage, any hurt. Let's look at the next verse. Because our hope of you is steadfast. Let me just personalize it and say to you, my hope of you is steadfast. I have great hopes for you. You know, Johnson, what are you doing here? And I'll tell you the answer to that. Jesus said to Peter, if you love me, feed the sheep. That's all I do here. This is a sheep shed. Smells a little better than that most of the time. And I long go learn, boy, if you don't like the smell of sheep, you ought to not be a shepherd. Loving the sheep, feeding the sheep. If you love me, Jesus said, feed the sheep. That's what this is about. We come here to get fed from the Word of God. My hope of you is steadfast. Now, the same as Paul was able to say this about the Corinthian church, I, as a pastor, am able to say that about you, and here's why. Because we know something. I know something. I know that as you are a partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Well, this is so good. That in fact, if you have any kind of suffering weighing down on you on this side, I want you to know big time news from God this morning. That He has got consolations on this side that are greater than those sufferings, regardless of what kind of sufferings those are. God. The great consolation looked for in Israel. Part of his identity. The God of consolation. Watch. The God. You got sufferings over here. The God who comes to give you over here whatever it takes to deal with, cope with, overcome what's over here. Let's keep going on this one for a moment. There are two immutable things about God, and which is impossible for God to lie. And it's because of these two immutable things that we might have a strong consolation. I want you to notice a couple things about this. The best thing about this is that the consolation that you get from God is strong. It is strong. God doesn't, it's not trickling something out to you that's going to make you just barely able to stand. God's consolations are strong. That means, if nothing else, they are sufficient to counteract whatever the cause or whatever creates the need in your life for consolation. His consolations are strong enough to overcome whatever the need is that's provoking this. Now, interesting. Because this is talking to the Jewish Christians who have fled the refuge of Judaism to lay hold on the hope that was before them. Now watch this. The reason they were able to flee the comfort, do you know how difficult it is to be Jewish and to become Christian? Do you know the family impact of that? Do you understand the early Christian church was primarily Jewish until Paul got on the scene? And that's what caused such a great uproar And here are these people who could have stayed in their Judaism as a refuge, had to have a sufficient reason to switch, to flee from the refuge and come upon something else, a new hope. And what gave them the ability and the power to convert from one to the other was the consolation that came from God. And this consolation was so great, it's what provided the hope for leaving the refuge of Judaism. Which hope, look at this now, we have. We have as an anchor of the soul. This anchor that you've got. We sing about anchored to the rock that cannot fail. What is this anchor? This anchor is the hope that comes out of the consolations of God. And they are steadfast. Look at this. And sure. They are sure and they are steadfast. And they're that which entereth into that within the veil. Interesting phrase. One verse of scripture talks about the veil, which is as flesh. Down inside you, where nobody else can see, where nobody has ever touched, which nobody understands because it's veiled, it's covered up. These consolations reach, producing a hope like an anchor to the soul. It is the consolations that will enable you to be stable in unstable conditions. It is this anchor of the soul that will enable you during rough weather to stay afloat, during persecution, to triumph. Because the consolations are more than, greater than, the sufferings. And then, consolations are also a function of God's Word. So, the disciples, some of them were had a group that had been in Antioch. They came to Antioch, rather, when they were finished at another place. When they got there, they gathered the multitude together. This is really neat. They were having a get-together. Now, usually to have a get-together, you have to have an attraction, right? People get together for birthday or anniversary. People get together because there's a band, there's going to be a good time or whatever, or food, whatever. In these days, they gathered together because they wanted to hear the scripture, the epistle. I don't know which one it was, it doesn't tell us which one it was. But all the multitude gathered together and they delivered the epistle. They read the epistle out loud. Now watch this. Which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. So they read this out loud. And there was so much consolation in here that they rejoiced. What a get-together that was. Consolations come from God's Word. Now, I want to spend a few moments talking about the power of consolation. Why you need it, why it's available to you, why God wants to provide it to you almost automatically, and what it will achieve in your life when you receive the consolations from God. Then I'm going to conclude with some examples of consolations which I've had, and I think it might be help clarify for you. Now, we go to Philippians chapter 2, and here's how it begins. If, now I want you not to miss this. Let me circle that better. If you have consolation in Christ, then the following things are going to be possible. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, now there's four elements here, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, and any bowels and mercies. If you have these things, then you will have the ability, because you have them, of following the following through with the following instructions. It's all contingent upon if these things be in your life. And dearly beloved, if you're here today and you have not been rejoicing, if the consolations of God are small to you, then today I want them to become big. Because if the consolations of God will become big to you, and you be a participant and a receiver of such, then all the power that you need to accomplish the following things will come out of having received the consolations from God. All right? How many are you with me here? You're like, all right, okay. All right. All right, now watch. Let's go back to this diagram for a moment. If you are experiencing some kind of suffering from any kind whatsoever, and it's a weight acting down on your life, and you do not have something over here to counterbalance it, then you will be unstable in your Christian life. Because when you feel the suffering, it will depress you, it will discourage you, it will hold you down, it will prevent you, as you're going to see in a few moments, from responding in a positive way to the environment in which you live and those that are around you. So if we only got sufferings, if we only got hardships, then the scale is tipped. But if there is consolation, then this scale is balanced. Okay, let me see if I can get this to you now. You will be spiritually and psychologically strong. You will have mental health. You'll be a balanced person. You will be enabled to cope. You will be emotionally rock solid. Nobody will be able to push your button, yank your chain, or provoke you, or put you off, or upset you. Because if someone upsets you, you get a consolation from God that counteracts that upsetting. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, this is great news, friends. We're talking here about one of the great secrets of living the normal Christian life, which is far higher than what normal Christianity is today. If there be any consolation, if there be any comfort of love, if there be any fellowship of the Spirit, if there be any bowels or sympathies of mercy and mercy, then you will have, see, going back here, watch this now. Because if you're in this condition and have not received the consolations, let me show you. Watch the diagram with me. And you're in this condition, you're going to be looking for somebody else over here all the time to come and help you out with this. And if they don't, you will be angry with them. Because you've got this upset in your life. And the consolations of God come, remember, to make you sure and steadfast like an anchor in the storm. So that you are not upsettable. Nobody can tilt you off of center, off of balance, off of stability. They don't have a road to get to you because your weaknesses have been offset by the consolations that you got from God. No mental disturbances. No emotional outbursts are necessary. No provocation can irk you because you have received consolations that abound and they are more than the sufferings that come your way. This is the most important thing, I think, for you to receive today. This is why you've come for this moment. Now, here's the power. If there be any consolation, if there be any comfort of love, if there be any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, sympathies and mercies. And by the way, let me back up there. Any consolation in Christ. And this is where you get the comfort of love. And listen, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And look at mercy come from. These are all part of the consolations. Number one, you'll be able to get along with one another. All right. Watch the command. If there be any consolation, now here's the ability you will have. Fulfill my joy that you be like-minded. The person who has not received the consolations and still tilted by the suffering cannot even mentally relate to another person because his needs are greater than the consolations. He hasn't had the consolations. So the needs distort the way he sees another person. So he can't come into unity of mind with them. But if there be any consolation, be like-minded. Have the same love. Be of one accord and one mind. Now let me watch this now. Because this one accord thing and a one mind thing is really important. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place with one accord. That was an important factor for the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Let me tell you something that for you in your marriage and in your family to be of one accord will bring about remarkable Holy Spirit movings, which you otherwise will not have. But do you know how difficult it is to get into one accord? You shouldn't have said it quite so loud there. So. Now watch this. If everybody in the family is tilted like this, how on earth can one accord happen? How can we be like-minded? So God provides consolations, which enable us to cope with all our personal stuff so that when we relate to somebody else, we're not out of whack, we're not out of order, we're not out of sync, we're not out of control. We're not prejudiced. Y'all follow me now? So, if there be any consolation, then be of one mind, have the same love, be of one accord, of one mind. Oh, I forgot to put in the diagram here. Let's just change this. Let me see. Maybe I did this. Let me see. Yeah. Let's change this word from suffering to needs. Most conflicts between a husband and wife come because one or two or both of them, one or the other or both of them, have needs that they think the other person should meet that they're not being met. And I declare to you so happily this morning that when you come to Christ, that whatever your need is, the consolation that comes from Christ is equal to and balances you out, so you don't put undue pressure or have unreasonable expectations of another person. You guys got too much unbelief in your eyes. Well, let me do it. I won't take you. I have to do something in public that I don't like to do, but let me do it. Let me see. I know of a way around. I haven't got time to do it that way. Let me just do it here. Come on, computer. Yeah. All right, let me take you to scripture. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Father of mercies. And he's the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Watch this now. All our. This is why marriage is not for two half cookies trying to make one. Marriage is for two whole cookies. If you have one or both of the parties fragmented for whatever cause or reason, they come into that marriage in this tilted condition. They come in with needs unmet, and they think that marriage is the cure for their needs. Wrong. The cure for your needs is God. Look at it. He is the God of all comfort. Who of how much comfort? All of it. Who comforts us in all. Look at this. All comfort, all our tribulation. Because then we've got this balanced thing. Now we're able to comfort them which are in any trouble. By the comfort that we got from God. Isn't it interesting? Look at this. For the sufferings of Christ abound, so our consolation. This is where it comes from. Getting the consoles of God stabilizes a person so that they can have a meaningful relationship with another. They can be like-minded. They can get into one accord. Because we don't walk into the deal with a handicap. We don't walk in there with an overpowering inadequacy, an overpowering need, an overpowering difficulty, an overpowering suffering. So we're able to get along with one another. Next verse. Remember, this is all premised on if there be any consolation. Then you are able to live without strife. Because strife usually comes out of one person thinking the other isn't treating them right, isn't doing them right, isn't contributing to them properly. And so we throw little darts and then shoot big cannons and then blow bombs. But if there's consolation, if there's any comfort of love, if there's any fellowship with the Spirit, any mercy, yeah. Now I can do this. I can live without strife. Because consolations were sufficient to put me back together. Yeah. To rebuild, strengthen, fortify, establish what I should have been all the time, but somehow in my humanity, pieces got broken. But God puts them all back together again. Now I can walk, I can look somebody in the eye, and I can have a relationship shoulder to shoulder with them. I've got no agenda because I've got nothing missing. I am complete in Him. How do you get complete in Christ? You get completed in Christ because you are a recipient of these blessed consolations. Hallelujah. I'm still preaching better than you're talking here. You don't need strokes. Let nothing be done through vainglory. As you're going to see in a moment, it's the cure to an ego problem. Some of the stuff that happens is strife, and some of it is just because, you know, only by pride cometh contention. And we don't function. I don't come here to preach because enough people are here to flatter my ego. I don't preach because I'm looking for somebody to stroke. I don't do what I do. You can't do what you do. We cannot, because you see, we don't have any unmet needs. A person who stands before God is complete in Him because He's been a recipient of the consolations, those great compensations of God. Because then way down here where nobody knows, it's together. Why is it together? Because of the consolations got in there. They did their thing. And that don't require the strokes. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be complimentary to one another. We certainly should. Now, this is the key to being able to esteem other people. If you've received, therefore, consolations, then in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. A person who has not received the consolations cannot, except artificially, show esteem for others. Because when your self-image is tilted because you haven't received the consolations, but you're still tilted. And you interact with somebody. You're looking for somebody. You're trying to get this thing balanced. You're trying to get yourself back up. You're trying to get... Everybody follow what I'm saying here? And so, the only time we can say a genuine compliment to someone else or prefer someone else or show esteem to someone else is if it's seen as a way to achieve our ends of getting up ourselves. But genuine esteem for others is possible if there be any consolation, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies. So now we meet the other person without an agenda. And so we're able to follow this instruction. Don't look on your own thing only, but also on the things of others. If you talk to someone else and you're tilted like this, you're not a good listener. Because what's driving us is our need, our suffering, our inadequacy, our fear. Huh? This is what enables us to think Christ's way. Let your mind be in you, which is also in Christ. Only after you receive, which are 100% available to you all the time, consolations from Christ, from God, are you able to focus on somebody else without... See, this person can't focus on anybody else's problem because they are too driven within. They're too much internal conflict because the consolations haven't got down to the conflict level yet and leveled it out, compensated. Do you follow? So now, because there's consolation, we can learn to think the way Christ thinks about everything. And we become secure in our person. That is, our personal identity does not require compliance, or strokes, admonitions, or flowers from someone else. Made himself of no reputation. What people say about you doesn't matter. Because you know who you are. You are a person who had conflicts and sufferings, but they were consoled by Christ, and now you are a whole and adequate person. Hallelujah. And somebody comes and says, you're a jerk. You can smile and say, well, I've never heard that opinion before, but what makes you think that? You can just go ahead and dialogue, and calm, cool, and collected. No anger comes out because the anger has already been consoled. Yeah, you all getting this?
Yeah.
It enables you to have a servant spirit. You can take the form of a servant, and it doesn't damage your ego. Because your ego isn't out of order anymore. You can take the form of a servant. Watch this. You're able to be humble. Because you've received the consolations and all the suffering things of your life, whatever they be, them, the gamut is immense. No longer drives you or determines how you respond or react or do or don't to the environment or people around you. And then you're able to obey. Even when it comes to death. Even the death of the cross. That means you're able to obey. Why? All the stuff has been taken care of, gotten out of the way now. And the rest of my life, I'm not preoccupied with inadequacies, inferiorities, fears, unfulfillments, because of the great consolations of Christ. Now, I'd like to close with a few examples of consolations that have meant something to me in my life, and if I were to give them all to you, we'd be here a long, long time. Are you ready? I'm getting to talk to you about this stuff. I don't know how easy I'm going to make it through this because these are words that are not mere words. They have penetrated my soul. They have got down where nobody else sees or nobody else knows. And they took care of business there because they were consolations from God. When I read this verse, when I got this consolation, I wept an hour, I'm sure. It was longer than that. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I don't know about you, but I live with so much condemnation. No excuses. I could blame my teachers in school and my parents and everybody. None of that even matters. And I started blaming myself because of all my sins. Oh, my sin. Oh, my sin. They were so many. Then Jesus came and set the captive. And now, there is, therefore, because of what he has done, now, no condemnation. Oh. You see, here I was, condemnation, but now, I'm almost talking to you like I'm alone in this, and I shouldn't. Aren't most of us, haven't most of us been in the place of condemnation and have been set free by the blood of Jesus? Oh, lift your hand and say, thank you, Lord. You see, that's a consolation. No condemnation anymore. None. So I don't interact with my spouse, the children, or the people of the world, or anywhere else with this gnawing suffering that devils and demons want you to live with all of your life. Instead, this consolation took all that suffering out of me. Hallelujah. You couldn't preach, you couldn't say the things in public I say in public if you were living with the condemnation that I once had. And if you could, you shouldn't. And if you did, you'd go home with more condemnation than you walked in with. I tell you something, the clear conscience is so critically important. Paul said to Timothy, Philip's translator, I send you forth to battle for the right, armed only with faith and a clear conscience. And these are the two simple weapons that so many have cast contemptuously aside and have run their ships upon the rocks. Well, let me show you another one, all right? The only thing I had when I was young is I had a bigger inferiority. Oh, No, I forgot to put this verse in. I got to say it. Because this one, this is the one I just showed you. But it, same chapter's got more stuff. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Boy, how many fingers are pointed at you? They don't matter. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, risen. Yeah. Oh, I forgot. I've stuck this one in there. Here's a really good consolation. You ever had stuff just not seeming like it's going right? Like almost a comedy of errors, only there's no comedy to it. More of a tragedy of errors. Huh? Ever been there? Don't feel like you're getting ahead? Don't understand why whatever's coming at you? Listen to this consolation. We know. That all things are working together for the good. Them that love God. Call according to. Do you know how much aggravation and suffering this can take out of your life? Because we tend to put a spin on everything that's not going our way and feel like the whole world is against it. But we know. But we know. How many things? All of them. Are working together for our good. That's a big consolation. That can really tilt my emotional scale to where it should be in a balanced position. Huh? How about this one? God before us. Who can be against us? Beloved, the part that's difficult for me right now is for these to just sound like words to you when in fact to me they were life-giving consolations that came from God. And when I thought everybody else was getting ahead and I was going behind, I thought everybody was against me. Whoa. Do you know what that does to your emotions? You know what that does to your psyche? You know what it does to your spirit? But when you get the consolation, God's for me. Don't be against me. Let me run through. Oh, I haven't got time to explain that one to you. Well, let me just say this one. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities because we don't know how to pray as we ought. You ever get to the place where you don't know how to pray? You ever been in circumstances that are beyond you? And that if you did pray out loud and with your understanding, it would be just echoing words bouncing around and you couldn't mean them because you couldn't... What do you say? I tell you now what the Spirit helps this infirmity. Because I don't know how to pray as I ought. But the Spirit maketh intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered in... I can't even say them with my English language that I know they don't mean anything. But the Spirit. And I tell you, dear friends, now listen, don't y'all need to hear this. You may react, and you may, if you will, to charismatic stuff. But don't react to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Don't start cutting verses out of your Bible. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but he speaketh unto God. Howbeit he speaketh mysteries. And oh, I tell you, the consolation of being pressed down, pushed in the corner, and not know what to say and not know what to do, and you go to God and you don't even know how to pray. The Spirit makes intercession for us. Glory to His name. Well, here's a consolation. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now, if you don't think that takes a sting out of suffering, then you need to get this one as a rhema, as a word-quickened logos to you. That's what a rhema is, a logos, quickened by the Spirit and applied to you. Well, great consolation. Who shall separate us from the love of God? You ever have fears about we're going to stand tall and stay true as a Christian? What will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, peril, and all these things, what things? All these things up here, we are more than conquerors. For I am persuaded. There's another consolation. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. What a consolation that was to me. I don't know what consolation. I suppose if I invited you to the microphone, numbers of you could come up and quote some of the consolations. But let me get to the bottom line. These consolations come from the grace, by the grace of God to us, are so powerful that if there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship with the Spirit of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, then the power to do all those things becomes yours. And that's the balanced, normal Christian life. Not distressed, not upset, not worried, not anxious, because the consolations abound in Christ to us, and they are strong. And you will not fail. For greater is He. Greater is He. It's in you. And He's in the world. Amen. Amen. I hope this was a big encouragement to you today. I wanted you to leave church today with your fancy tickled. I wanted you to leave here today. Wow. If you are not receiving the consolations, they're all there for you. Go into the Word, grab one, get in your heart. It's for you. For the promises of God are yes and amen to everyone. They're for you. Lord God, I pray first with thanksgiving for the abounding consolations to us. Because where there's any kind of suffering, the consolations of Christ abound more. We cannot lose for winning. So I praise you for this. And now, Lord, I also ask you to work in the heart of every listener today to attach these words, your word, to their hearts and minds, that it will keep them. That as we respond to you, we will be indomitable. We can't be upset or ticked off or aggravated out of control because the consolations balance it all. And we be yours, steadfast and sure, even in the storms of life. For this and these, I thank you now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.